Welcome to the ACOFP podcast channel. This is Debbie Saracen, ACOFP Manager of Practice Enhancement and Quality Reporting. Today we are going to discuss a case study on a physician-led ACO and how they were able to leverage population health to improve outcomes, reduce costs, and gain increased shared savings. Today we have two special guests with us. Welcome to Victoria Farias and Josh Patton. And Victoria serves as a program administrator for the Rio Grande Valley Health Alliance, a physician-led ACO in South Texas. She has worked with the organization since its inception in 2012. In this role, she provides leadership and strategic direction within the evolving accountable healthcare environment and ongoing administration and management for all aspects of the ACO. Rio Grande has earned success in cost and quality year after year and recently achieved the highest savings percentage among Texas ACOs. Ms. Farias strongly supports the expansion and creation of physician-led ACOs and has stood at the forefront of risk-bearing, value-based models. So thank you, Victoria, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Our other guest, Josh Patton, is a lead advisor with Lightbeam Health Solutions. With more than 10 years of experience as a medical economics consultant, he has been responsible for the implementation and launch of comprehensive population health management solutions for over 15 healthcare organizations, including many ACOs. This represents nearly 1 million patient lives. Josh has helped develop Lightbeam's extensive roadmap for value-based care organizations, ACO data resources, and care management and cost reduction programs. Lightbeam has received recent recognition for its ability to improve shared savings results based on improving outcomes and reducing resource use. So let's get started with the questions for Victoria and Josh on ACO transformation. Victoria, could you provide some background about Rio Grande?
Yes. So we are a physician-led primary care ACO. We have 24 physicians in our organization, and we are located in South Texas, primarily in Hidalgo and Starr counties along the Mexican American border. We have a high incident of end-stage renal disease and diabetes, and also a high rate of dual eligibles in this population. We do have 30%, almost 32% dual eligibles, 3% ESRD, and about 14% disabled. So two of our most expensive populations. We have a higher than average, the national average for those populations. So we do manage a very complex patient beneficiary panel.
Okay, thank you for that background. When did your organization decide to become a Medicare Shared Savings Program and why?
So we first decided to become a Medicare Shared Savings Program in 2011. So Dr. Luis Delgado Jr., he's our president and founder of our ACO. He attended the Academy of American Family Physicians and heard a speaker. His name was Mr. Bo Bobbitt. And he was presenting on the concept of physician-led accountable care organizations. So he was very interested in this new concept. He returned home to the Rio Grande Valley, and he met with a small group of other physicians. So there was originally seven members that sat down at the table, and I still remember that time in late 2011, where they all sat down, and he said, you know, I heard this speaker, and there's this concept of an ACO, and it was all new to everyone, but they really entrusted him. He's a very respected physician leader in our community. So they trusted him with the concept, and they decided that they would go forward in starting this new venture. So it was a kind of an exciting time.
Yes, it's a big decision to become a Medicare Shared Savings Program, but I know that there's many advantages as well. What caused Rio Grande to investigate a population health solution?
So when we started the ACO, like I mentioned, there was only seven physicians that started, and they heard about the concept, but they really had no idea what exactly we needed to do to be successful at this. We were really used to the fee-for-service model. So the value-based model was new to us, but one thing we did know is that we did need data. We needed data because we were just coming off of a year and a half prior. We were thrust into the national spotlight with some negative reporting that we were a very high-cost area, so we really wanted to drill down and get that information for ourselves and be able to analyze it and see, okay, if we are a high-cost area, what can we do to really work with that and become, we'll fix that problem. So we knew that data played a great role, and we needed to obtain that data. So that's really why we sought a population health solution. And at first, we were working with a data consultant, but it wasn't until we were about a year into the operation that we realized our needs had really evolved and grown. So we wanted to go out there and see what other options were available to us, and that's when we began researching population management vendors.
Okay, great. Josh, when examining the various metrics at Rio Grande, what stood out to you that could be improved upon?
Yeah, I think one of the really impressive things about Rio Grande is they're really in tune with their data analytics. So we meet about once a month, and Victoria always has a long list of things to look at. And so we built a lot of tools in Lightbeam to really help benchmark against other ACOs by similar risk scores, by geography, by condition type. And so we're able to really tell kind of where we have room for improvement. So as Victoria mentioned, Rio Grande is an interesting area. You really have to match the data with the local context. So, for example, they have a very high inpatient home health, in some areas SNF spend, but there's also not a whole lot of access and facilities. So we've really had to look at what's available in their area, really had to target and lower the spend. And I will say Victoria and the team has been great about once they get the data, they put it into action. And so it really motivates and incentivizes Lightbeam to continue to drive and present data because they always act on it. So we always want to look to see where the cost drivers are. We also look at condition specific. So for their diabetics, for high-risk CHF, COPD, how can we drive interventions that really improve quality of life and lower spend, right? One of our missions, and Rio Grande as well, is improving quality of life. You know, we talk a lot about how to lower costs, how to make shared savings, but if you can get someone out of the hospital, out of the ER, you really are improving the way they live. And so I think, you know, for this relationship, it's really been a collaboration to look into all areas of the data analytics.
I'm just curious what access issues there were, Victoria or Josh?
Yeah, and Victoria, you probably have better insight into this, but, you know, when we looked at, let's say, dialysis centers or even home health, you know, I serve some clients that sit in large metropolitan areas that may have, you know, 25 SNFs within a 50-mile radius. That wasn't the case with Rio Grande, right? When we looked at kind of the top one or two main utilized facilities, those were the one or two. And so the strategies they had to deploy to really lower that spend was really a lot more targeted at contracting, some referral pattern, but really understanding kind of those two facilities. And maybe, Victoria, you can speak more to that.
We live in an area that's pretty spread out. We're not considered rural, but we do have a lot of patients that are far from the center of access to care, and we don't have a very strong public transit system. So that's a challenge for us as far as patients having that access. When we first started our ACO, we realized that there was a large number of home health agencies, an abnormal number. I think there was over 400 agencies. So there was more agencies here than there were in Houston or Dallas. So that was a problem for us because we just knew that there was just too many agencies. We didn't need that many agencies. But then now that we've evolved and grown, we have a smaller number of SNFs, and now we have a smaller number of home health agencies. But so I think there were facilities available to them, but we're evolving to getting them to that facility, so the access as far as transportation, and then high-quality facilities. I think that's something that we're really we've evolved and started working towards.
Okay, thank you. Victoria, what role does primary care play in access and in referrals?
Yes, primary care, you know, I'm going back to when we started our ACO, and when Dr. Delgado sat at that conference and heard the concept of primary care-led ACOs, there was something that really interested him, and it was the fact that it was bringing it back to the way that healthcare is supposed to be, and that's, you know, the patient-centered home model where the primary care physician's at the center of the care. I think we had really strayed away from that, and it had become that specialists were acting as the primary care, or physicians were self-referring, and there wasn't a lot of communication, and this continuum of care didn't exist. So that really interested him in taking back that control, because, you know, primary care has changed so much in that now most of our primary care physicians are not in the hospitals anymore. So even that control has been taken, you know, from them because of just the need that we have here to see patients and not be in the hospitals. So we really wanted to try to go back to that primary care, the patient-centered home model, and try to take back those referrals. So that's where we're trying to go in the future, is to make sure that our physicians are, our primary care physicians are sending to the right specialist, because prior to us starting the ACO, and even in some of our first years as an ACO, our patients were really going a lot of different places. So there wasn't a lot of control in that. But now that we've developed this network, and we're working with post-acute providers, with specialists, with hospitals, we're really, we've made a lot of advancements in trying to better direct that in what's best for the patient as far as quality, and what's best for cost as well.
Okay, great. It sounds like you have a very strong continuum of care now. Going back to your decision about population health vendors, what attracted you to Lightbeam Population Health?
I was really attracted to the robust reports and the intuitive nature of the platform. Like Josh mentioned, as an administrator, I'm very data-driven. When I first started working with the organization, I was primarily in charge of our data collaboration and connections. So I've always really enjoyed that part of analyzing data, looking for solutions. So a vendor such as Lightbeam that has really robust reports, that you can run your own reports and you can run them on demand and you can customize them, all of that was very appealing to not only myself but also our physicians, because our physicians, they are very forward-thinking in acknowledging that data is important, and having the right available data to them that's actionable is very instrumental in our success. So in the past, our prior vendor wasn't able to produce this as robust of reports, and also they weren't able to produce on-demand reports. So those are two things that we were really looking for, and Lightbeam delivered on both, and their platform just did that and so much more. So all of that was very appealing.
Okay, great. How did physicians and other eligible clinicians adapt to Lightbeam when it was introduced? I know that it's difficult sometimes for physicians to change things in their workflow. So how was it adapted to, and how did Lightbeam help the process?
Yes, as you said, Debbie, it's very hard to incorporate any kind of change into an already busy clinical practice, and that's always going to be a challenge. But thankfully, Lightbeam, they provided a lot of support. As I mentioned, at the time, I was in charge of the data integration for organizations. So the train-the-trainer concept worked very well for us. And as an organization, we were able to create kind of a systematic approach that all offices could incorporate into their workflow, and also the ability to customize on a provider user level was very important because we could tailor the platform to either the physician, the MA, or the office manager so that they would only be able to see in their environment, in their Lightbeam environment, the charts or data that was applicable to them. So it wasn't, even though the Lightbeam platform is very robust and it can do a lot, we didn't want to overwhelm people. So we were able to tailor it. So that made it very a lot easier to accept into the practices, as we would give them, okay, this is your goal in Lightbeam, this is what we want you to do, and it was very simple and easy to use, and it delivered the plan that the goals of the ACO. So that's really how we were able to get them comfortable with using the system. So our physicians do not use Lightbeam daily. They don't log in and use it, but their staff. So they hand that off to the staff, and the staff gives them reports through Lightbeam. So that's just how it works better with us. But there are some physicians that will pull up the HC face sheet at the point of care. But there are others that we have a system where we print out the reports for them through Lightbeam at the point of care, and then they take that into the exam room and use it that way. So they do use it just kind of through their staff, if that makes sense.
So possibly care coordinators, nurse practitioners, physician assistants will,
yes,
will do,
yes,
the work to access the information within Lightbeam and then share it with the physician?
Yes.
Okay, great. What role did Josh play as an advisor with Lightbeam to activate your ACO plan?
Yeah, so Josh has been great. He's been very instrumental these past few years in helping us to achieve our goals. So he's very knowledgeable in the system and works with us on very specific drill-down reports. We meet monthly and then also quarterly to discuss the goals of our organization and how we can best utilize data in the system to achieve cost savings and quality improvement. So his knowledge also on a broader scale, since he works with a lot of other organizations, and also his experience overall, also helps to kind of give me a different perspective on how to best use the data that's available to us in the system. So that's been very helpful to have that input.
And Josh, how do you view your role in helping Rio Grande with their goals?
Yeah, I would say it's been an evolving process. So we started our advisory branch in 2016. We noticed that clients were getting data. They were, for the most part, overwhelmed with the amount of data and kind of what to do with it. And so we started our branch to really help clients put action to the data. So a lot of the stuff that Victoria's team do naturally birthed this team. And so a lot of what we've done is evolved to really help kind of understand, again, what's the local context, local market challenges, what organizational challenges do you have? So being a physician-led ACO has certain positives that a hospital-based ACO might not, or vice versa. So really understanding the client and how to help them achieve their goals at an organizational level, and then really how to best pull in data from our platform, benchmarks, public data, to make sure that the things they're focusing on really are going to move the needle. And then helping them with some of the tracking to really make sure that if you're putting in a CHF program that your interventions are working. You know, we want to make sure that whatever they're doing at a strategic level is really moving that needle and driving down spend. So I would say it's definitely been an evolving process, but one that we continue to get good feedback from Victoria and clients and try to really change our model to more of a partnership model than just a data analytics company.
Okay, great. What types of IT challenges do you face when implementing Lightbeam at an ACO?
Well, if you've ever been to IKEA or bought a kid's bike and gotten home and had a 150-piece project put together without an instruction plan, that's a typical implementation for an ACO or analytics group, right? You have upwards of 20 to 30 EHRs that are all on different platforms and vendors, claims feeds, and so part of our process from the get-go is really understand where's the critical mass? So are there certain practices that hold a key number of patients? Are there certain data elements that will help initially with certain strategic goals? So for Rio Grande specifically, they have about 15 or so different EHRs across their practices. So we actually have only integrated with, I think, about half of those, and that's given us enough data to really drive the bulk of their strategy. So part of it is really understanding that 80-20 rule and how to make sure that we don't stay in a data implementation mode for 2 years. And so that's some of the early challenges is really understanding kind of where the patients fall, how many systems connect, how fast we connect them, how does the data look, how do we normalize it. But I think we've come to a good place where they can really make informed decisions on their business based on those connections.
Okay. Victoria, can you describe how Lightbeam has helped with shared savings, and what does shared savings mean for the practicing physician?
So they've helped with our shared savings because they've given us the data that we need to identify areas of cost improvement. And really, without that data, it would be like going into something just blind, and there's so many aspects of healthcare and the claims feed, and we have inpatient, we have home health, and for each of our physicians, they're all different. They all have different areas where they can cut costs or bring down costs or be more efficient. So without that data, we really were flying blind. So Lightbeam really provided us with the data that we needed. In the beginning, we focused primarily on home health. It was kind of the low-hanging fruit. But as we evolve more and, we've already made progress in that one area, we need to continue to look at areas where we can implement best practices in the hospital or implement best practices in the inpatient rehab, et cetera. So all of that, we need the data because we may know that our inpatient rehab cost is high based on what CMS gives us, but we don't know which facilities, which patients, which doctors. So that all plays a very important role in the data that we are able to obtain from Lightbeam. So shared savings for us, we have achieved shared savings for 5 years in a row, and we're hoping that the sixth year in our second contract, we will also achieve shared savings. So all of our physicians have been able to earn a bonus as being part of this program. And I really say earn, and I mean earn, because we've really had great, patient engagement, but I meant great physician engagement. And without physician engagement, we could have a great system in Lightbeam. But it really took the physicians to buy into it, and they really have bought into it because they trust the company, they trust the data, and they've seen the results. So Lightbeam, I would say, has been very instrumental in getting us to our fifth year of shared savings. Because each year it gets harder.
So, yeah, that's great. 5 years is a long time, and it sounds like you're on the right track. How has Lightbeam helped?
Yeah, sorry, can I jump in real quick and just
add
to that, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to add, it does get progressively harder every year, and I think what's so important is Rio Grande has built a culture of success. So I regularly get emails from Victoria saying, we left $2 million on the table. How do we find out what drove this? Or, even 5 years into success, they haven't let off the gas. So, we hear a lot, they have a high benchmark or whatever it may be, and people want to use that as an excuse not to be successful. But they have a high benchmark because they have a very complex population. And I think of my client base, I get more questions and really a desire to understand the drivers from Rio Grande than almost anybody else. They have a monthly meeting where they discuss how to really move the ACO forward. So if you want to talk about success, yes, it is a strong clinical team. Yes, it is data, but there's also a culture there that really drives that behavior. And so I just wanted to highlight that because it is really important to understand that I think it's an organizational trait they have to really make them successful as well.
Oh, thank you for that, Josh. Yeah, we do really, we have great our physician leadership, especially in Dr. Delgado, our president. I think he has really established that drive with our physicians and that buy-in. So that's been very instrumental for us.
Great. Just wrapping things up and looking ahead to 2019, what are some of the goals that you have for the ACO Victoria?
I want to continue to grow and expand. And one of our main goals is to build a preferred network and to strengthen that preferred network of post-acute providers, hospitalists, and to really bring healthcare back to, like I said, the primary care at the center of the patient-centered medical home. I think that's very important for success in value-based medicine and value-based models. I really do support the expansion of more physician-led ACOs, and I hope to see that in the coming years. And just to continue to grow and to strengthen that network.
Josh, do you have any comments on that?
No, I think one of the things that we talk about often is just how do you continue to build on this model? So looking at referral patterns and products we have, you know, one of the things that I love about Rio Grande is not only are they trying to identify areas, but they're willing to test out new things. So often if we have new products or if we have a new module or chart, we go to them because they're really test drive it, they'll use it, they'll give us good feedback. And so I think we're always excited about their new goals because it gives us a chance to really partner with them to figure out how to partner technology with it. So I would definitely say there's much more to come from Rio Grande.
Okay. I want to thank you both for sharing all this great information with us today. This is truly a success story that many of our ACOFP members can learn from. And if anyone has further questions for Victoria or Josh, or would like to learn more about Lightbeam Health Solutions, please contact me at debbies@acofp.org, debbies@acofp.org, or you may call me at 847-952-5523. Thank you for listening.